Good afternoon, and in this session, I will present our work on the security of and usability of video-based captures. And this is a joint project between UNC Chapel Hill and Kaiten. My collaborators are Gerardo Sonia, my advisor, Yamako Frame, Fabian Morose, and Paul Van Oshut. My name is Yi. Capture is short for completely public Turing test to tell computers and humans apart. As its name suggests, it is a reverse Turing test to prove that the user is a human, and it serves an important role in the computer security. The most commonly used captcha are text-based captchas, where the user is required to type in the letter they see, but there are also other kinds of flavors. The audio-based captchas require the user to type the words they hear. Cognitive captchas may ask the user to solve a puzzle. There are also 2D and 3D image captchas where the user needs to distinguish between different objects. As you are well aware, captchas are widely popular. We encounter them when we are registering for an email account. And in that case, they are used as a mechanism to prevent automated account registration. They are also used to prevent automated guessing of usernames and passwords, and mining of stored public files and abuse of online voting polls. They are also used to put restrictions on online social networks, multiplayer games, and so on. It is well known that contemporary captchas are not widely liked. The use of distortion, noise, and other techniques are made to make it difficult for computers. However, that all the aforementioned strategies have been shown to be vulnerable to attack. Therefore, it is only natural for the researchers and practitioners to keep looking for better alternatives. One such alternative is the use of video or moving object image recognition captchas. In the motion-based captchas, people will watch a movie like this, and they are required to decipher the moving letters. And some of the moving letters may be in a dynamic scene, just like this. And in this example, you will need to type in the letters in red, namely E, S, and V. And you can see that there's no distortion, there's no noise, everything stays very consistent, and this is very easy for people to do that. This is the idea of moving image object recognition capture. So motion-based capture has an obvious advantage. It is very easy to use. Human vision system is very sensitive to the movement, and it is very easy for people to extract the code words from such captures. But upon closer inspection, moving based captures also have several potential disadvantages which may lead to potential vulnerabilities to automated attacks. For one, a video can be seen as a set of frames, and traditional attacks can be applied to each of these frames. And in fact, our naive approach just does this. More damning, however, is that the temporal relationship between the frames also provides extra information. And the use of this information can make it possible for computers to locate the code words easier. For instance, where a given letter may get overlapped in one frame, it might be easier to extract from another frame. And so once we know the relationship between the frames, we know that these pixels belong to the same letter, and even if we only can see it from one or two frames, we can still be able to get it. And lastly, today's motion-based captures rely on object recognition rather than object classification. The former is much easier for computer vision techniques. Given these advantages and disadvantages, our goal is to assess the security and usability of video-based captures. And in particular, we focus on two different approaches that amply demonstrate the challenges in designing secure and usable captures. First, we will explore widely used motion-based capture by New Capture. So New Capture, they claim to serve millions of such captures per day and claim that their capture to be one of the most secure and most usable capture to date. We also examine other motion-based captures based on the notion of emerging image first proposed by Mitchell in 2009. In the case of New Capture, we explore various attacks that undermine the security of their motion-based captures, and we attempt to mitigate these attacks by exploring the design space and testing several natural extensions. These extensions are not evaluated in vacuum. Instead, we examine their usability based on a lab-based user studies. captchas have long been a widely discussed topic. For the most part, the academic researches have focused on two issues, namely, how well the various designs resist automated attacks, that is, the security analysis, and how easy the captchas are to use. So Yang et al., for example, provide comprehensive studies on the image-based captcha and the character-based captcha. And more recently, the security of audio-based captcha has been studied by Burstein and Supionis. With respect to the usability, Kluver, Burstein, and Yang have also examined the usability of both character-based and audio-based captchas. The most closely related to our work are the ideas discussed by Burstein on his blog to defeat the captchas by new captcha. In the analysis that follows, we make the following assumptions about moving object recognition captchas. First, they should contain the movement of object that is rigid. For example, the letters should not change dramatically in their shape. We believe that this needs to hold because human visual system also needs that the objects to maintain their shape in order to be seen. We also assume that the code words they do not move randomly, and this will follow their own trajectories. If they move randomly, it is no way for us to tell which is the first letter, which is the second letter. And lastly, we assume that the background can be dynamic, but it should always maintain a contrast from the foreground, otherwise we will not be able to see it. And all of these assumptions hold true for new captcha. In this talk, we also assume that we know the number of the code words as a priori. But we have subsequently shown that this assumption is not necessary. And now let's move on to see how our attack makes use of these assumptions and successfully extract code words from this class of motion-based captchas. As mentioned earlier, one strategy to defeat motion-based captcha is to simply view the video as a set of individual frames and just perform traditional attacks on a single frame. We implement this by extracting the foreground, equally divide the longest horizontal distance into three different patches. And then these patches are fed into a classifier for recognition. And even such a naive strategy decodes all the three characters in the code words at 36% of the time. Not wanting to stop here, we have proposed an enhanced algorithm to boost our success rate. The overall structure of our attack is as follows. We take as input a video stream, then in order to make use of the temporal information, we analyze the movement of the letters with an optical flow technique, and this will reveal the motion of the important points in the video. Unfortunately, the optical flow method lets us know the motion of all the objects in the scene, including some trajectories that we do not want, so we'll extract the foreground information from the video. Once we have successfully done so, we find the pixels belonging to different captures, from the different characters, and these are then segmented into different patches. And each of these patches are sent into a classifier that performs recognition, and in our work, we use the neural network classifier. And note that the above sets are far from perfect, and occlusions and some other things may make it difficult to extract some of the letters. We address this via a feedback loop, and in this way we'll iteratively mask the letter that we are most confident in. And doing so will make it much easier to extract the characters from the code words. And even when the overlap ratio of the characters extremely high. So let's examine each step in more detail. With the input video, we can extract the corner points from it. And these corner points are seen features from which we can know about the motion of the letters. Then these corner points are linked into trajectories. As we can see here, the corner points are linked, and there are also some noise on the background and on the letters that we do not care, namely there are trajectories on the white letters which we do not want. And So we need to eliminate this trajectory we don't need and extract the foreground. First, we have to remove the background trajectories, and as we have seen, these trajectories are much shorter in length, and so it is very easy to pick them out. Notice that the foreground letters, they are rotating while they are moving. So this leads to a bigger variance than the other letters. So we can extract the foreground based on their variance. The problem here is that we usually only have 2 to 5 salient features on each letter, which is not enough. So too few features will make segmentation process unstable, and in this way make it difficult to extract the letters with high accuracy. However, once we've got the foreground, we can densify the trajectories based on foreground information. As we can see here, we can get a lot more salient features from each letter. And with so many features, it is much easier to segment the trajectories based on their location and velocity. The segmentation technique will provide us a set of patches from individual frames. And these patches are extracted and normalized in their direction and fed into a neural network which will generate the motif of the letters. And we did this with a voting strategy. And here with these patches, the motif A is extracted. We will repeat this procedure and for each letter of the code words. If all goes well, then all the characters of the code words would have already been extracted successfully. However, life is never so simple. Overlaps in characters may undermine our approach, as the influence of one character would lend to the errors in the recurring of the characters adjacent to it. So in order to alleviate this problem, we take advantage on the fact that we can reduce the occlusion by masking the letters we are most confident in. That is, in each iteration, the letter we are most confident about is removed from the video. In this case, T is noted, and then we mask it with a template. And this leaves only 2 letters to think about, and P is this time is considered to be confident. And we iterate the same process, and only A is left, and it is very easy to get it correctly. For our security analysis, we train a classifier with 1800 patches extracted from 300 videos from different backgrounds. And then we test our attack with a different set of 200 videos. And some of the examples of the captchas we have successfully decoded are shown here. It may come with different backgrounds, and we have tried all the 19 different backgrounds which we can find on the new captcha website. The success rate of our extended attack strategy is more than double than that of the naive approach. And with a feedback loop enabled, we can successfully decode 77% of the characters, and each of these captchas have 3 characters, and each character has 90% accuracy. And you might notice that the 3 character accuracy is slightly higher than the multiplication of single character accuracy. This is mainly because that the characters have influence upon each other, and there is some experimental error. The enhancement of the feedback loop seems to offer only a marginal improvement, but it makes the process much more robust against possible variance. And indeed, if the character has more overlap ratio, or if the code words consist of much more characters, the feedback loop will make a very big difference. Our enhanced approach has more than doubled the success rate of the naive approach. This is mainly because we make use of the temporal information with which we can review the foreground and segment much more precisely. It also enables us to build a feedback loop to make the algorithm much more robust. The temporal information we use is provided by optical flow technique with which we can extract the trajectories of the letters. Next, it is natural that we explore possible ideas that may deface the tracking trajectory, such as optical flow. The approach we choose is based on the idea of emerging images. Emerging images is a technique to generate the image from 3D objects, which is resistant to various methods of tracking, segmentation, and single frame recognition. We implemented our own instantiation of emerging image idea based on 2D objects and use it as another example of motion-based captures. And in this way, we can attempt to defeat the tracking techniques such as optical flow. For the emerging image capture from independent frames, as we can see here on the left, it is very difficult both for human and computers to extract the colors. But when you put them together to form a video, however, the human vision system does a marvelous job and we can recognize the letters quite easily. The ease with which we can decode the motion of the video underscores the power of our human vision system. But for computer vision techniques, this task remains extremely difficult. It's very easy for us to see the letters here, P, C, A, M, but it's, as far as we've got, it is quite hard for computers. The challenge here is that there's little visual consistency in the video. Every frame is almost full of noise, and the noise changes dramatically through the video. As expected, our attack fails completely because of these difficulties. So our ability to undermine one approach while failing miserably against another raises some interesting questions. For one, at what point should we consider a capture to be fundamentally flawed? Unfortunately, there is no easy answer here. And indeed, the literature offers little guidance on this issue. For example, the text around 10 years ago considered 1 in 100 a successful break. In our work, we set a success threshold at 5%, with which it is still arguably too high, but it still allows us to evaluate the usability when automated attacks do not succeed at a success ratio greater than this threshold. Said another way, if the usability is already too poor at this point, we should not consider the capture to be viable. We performed a lab-based within subjects experiment design with 25 participants. 5 variants are tested and ordered based on Latin square, and these variants are set to match the point where our attack only succeeds at 5% of the time. Each participant is given 10 different challenges and per variant with different backgrounds, and we record the time expense and success rate of the participant's solutions. The participants were also asked to fill a questionnaire which will provide us feedback on the perceptions of different variants. So following are several natural extensions we have examined in this paper. First, we simply extend the code word to 23 letters where our attack only succeeds at 5% of the time. As we can see, it is natural that people find it, this seems quite crazy. And second, we overlap more portions of the letters in order to make them more difficult to segment the captures. So the overlap ratio is far beyond the level considered in new capture, even in the most secure instantiation. Our attacks still succeed at 5% success rate, even if the middle character is completely blocked. We make the letters semi-transparent to prevent foreground extraction. And our attacks still succeed at 5% even in this capture where the foreground to background ratio is 20 to 80. So all the captures we have shown here will succeed at 5%, which is arguably too high. The result shows that emerging image capture and standard new capture have statistically a significant better success rate than the others, and they do not have a clear difference between each other. And notice that the subjects do not lack semi-transparent variant. As we can see here, the dark blue area takes a large portion of the bar, which means they skip a lot of them. Beyond the simple success rate, it is also important to see how long it takes for people to generate for people to extract the chorus. For the time to solve, there is no statistically significant difference between standard, emerging, semi-transparent, and overlapping. But it is understand that the people take a lot more time to deal with the extended one with 23 letters. After the challenges, people are asked to fill a Likert scale questionnaire. Some of the questions are as follows. Was it easy to accurately solve the challenge? Was the challenge easy to understand? And was this capture mechanism planned to use? For the Likert scale questionnaire, the user will score a question from 1 to be the most negative and 10 to be the most positive. With respect of accuracy, the easiness to understand and how people like it, our finding is that the user clearly prefer the standard new capture over the other variants, but the emerging image capture does have a better performance than some of the variants such as the semi-transparent and extended. The subjects also found that the standard version to be much easier than traditional captures, and also noticed that although the emerging image is not that pleasant to use, some users felt that it did do the job. As a summary, we found that standard new capture is the most usable, and with the extended one with 23 letters, the most annoying, it is quite natural that. And we also found people are very good at solving the emerging image capture, although they may not like it. And the emerging image capture seem to offer a far better security. As a conclusion, the current state of ArtMir capture, the motion-based capture, does not offer the adequate security protection. Emerging image concept offer a viable alternative, but it is only per today's attacks. In closing, we note that the strategies we have explored here require the user to detect a few known objects, and these objects have little variance in their appearance. So all the letters here, although they may have a slightly different orientation, something like that, they do not vary a lot in their appearance. And this is something that computers are very good at, and they will be very close to the performance of the human. And hence, this does not mean the original goal of CAPTCHA, which is meant to be a test to tell computers and humans apart. To succeed at such a test, we need some tasks that computers are not good at, which, for example, identify objects that are having wider inner class variety. For example, different chairs. They may have dramatically different appearance, and for a particular chair, it looks different from different perspectives. But it is quite natural for humans, since we can easily extract the essence of this class because of our learned knowledge. So for future research, a better approach may to involve tasks that require high-level semantics. We hope that our work stimulates discussion on the design of more secure and useful video captures. Since the publication of our work, we have also evaluated some more work recently evaluated by new captures, such as using different fonts and different colors. And unfortunately, these variants are also found not to be viable either. And you may find more details about this on our project at the website. Okay, thank you for your attention. And questions, please.
Hi, Jeremy Epstein, National Science Foundation. I'm curious about the computational load involved in doing these analyses, and in particular, comparing it to the economic cost, because today we can solve CAPTCHAs for a fraction of a penny using human labor. Online, is it enough harder that it changes the human cost, and how does that balance the computing cost?
Okay, this is a great question. So what we have done here aims to find the respect of automated attacks, and there's always been a a similar aspect on to use human resources for this task. And this is quite beyond our research here. And
Could you comment at least on the computational part then? How much computational power does it take to solve one of these?
Yeah, for automated attack, it takes about 1 minute to solve every video-based capture. But it does not require human interaction. So with a lot of computers, and it is quite easy to do it very fast. And what we have done here is that we have not tried to speed up the speed. So we have used MATLAB code and C code. We use a mixture, and this will in this way it is considerably lower than the fact if we can do it purely with C and some parallel computation. And I believe afterwards we can possibly accelerate our speed to less than 30 seconds or something. Okay, although this is still quite considerably comparable to the speed of using human resource, but this is automated attack, so this is kind of two different categories. And I would be very glad to further discuss the possibility of using human resources at a attack, and maybe we can do it afterwards in the break.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, as a possible way to expand new CAPTCHA, do you know if they've considered using instructions to tell you which letters to look for? Perhaps they could have a lot of spinning, jumping, and shrinking letters and say only type the jumping letters. This might be a lot harder for a computer to break because it needs the languages, the language comprehension.
Yeah, this is also a great question. And the assumptions here we hold is that each letter, this should always keep their own trajectories. And even though they do not move at this easy trajectory, even if they move with jumping or something like that, as long as they do not move randomly across the screen, so that we do not know which one is the first, which one is second, we can still do it correctly. And for today's attack, this is also required by human because we also need the letters, the characters to maintain certain areas in order for us human to solve it efficiently. So does this answer the question?
Hi, I was just wondering if you had any intuition as to why the feedback loop didn't like greatly improve like the accuracy. I was a little surprised to see that, for instance, on the singular character accuracy, a couple of slides back, that the addition of the feedback loop only offered like two additional correct classifications.
Yeah. Great question. The thing here is that the experiment we have done only have three different letters. So the boost, there is still a boost for the feedback loop, but it is not that easy to be noticed. The fact is that without the feedback loop, we cannot deal with the ones with more overlapped ratio and the one with five or more letters. But with the feedback loop, all this can be solved. So feedback loop, it does a boost for the captures with fewer letters. But the most important thing is that it offers us robustness, and it enables us to deal with the more extended version of the captures, the more variants, the one with 23 letters, we can deal with it with at 5% success rate. Okay,
thank you.
All right, let's thank our speaker.